Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Highway Don't Care by Lonnie Lynn Vail, narrated by Stephanie Rose and Mason Lloyd. Chapter 1. Don't piss off a biker. They always have friends. Biker Truth. Ember. Today had been a long day. It was the first day of two-a-day practices for the football team. I'd treated over 15 kids for minor injuries that they'd sustained during practice, and one major who suffered a concussion. The player had been suffering from confusion, and after a few tests on my part to confirm, he was transported to the local ER. My ass was officially dragging. I loved being an athletic trainer. Since tearing three ligaments in my knee and being unable to go on my full-ride volleyball scholarship to Texas A&M University, I've put every waking hour into keeping athletes healthy or getting them back in fighting form. My phone buzzed in my pocket, and my heart soared, but then quickly deflated after I glanced at the screen. Damn, it was Maximilian, my brother. Not that I didn't love and cherish him, but he just wasn't the one I wanted to hear from right now. I wanted to hear from Gabriel. My heart longed to hear his voice, his husky laugh, the annoying tapping that he did incessantly, and, hell, even the sound of his breathing. Me being me, I'd thrown the bitch fit of all bitch fits, and we haven't spoken to each other in nearly a week. Every time the phone rang, I got my hopes up, only to have them come crashing down again when he wasn't the one on the phone. I hit ignore on the screen and shoved the phone back down the front of my shirt. My usual spot for my phone is in between the strap of my sports bra and my chest. I find that it holds it in place great, even when I'm running. Since I'm in some sort of athletic type apparel nearly 90% of the time, I had to improvise where to put things. Cheyenne thought that was hilarious. She said I looked stupid because the phone was bigger than my boobs, but I took it in stride. I knew I had no boobs to speak of, but my ass more than made up for the lack of boobs. If I could transplant some ass fat into my boobs, I'd be batting 1,000. Cheyenne was my best friend in the whole world. She was my lesbian lover when ugly guys hit on me during our nights out. She was the cheese to my macaroni, the ketchup to my scrambled eggs. She's the best friend that picked me up at the airport after a week-long trip to England with a sign that said, "Welcome home, loser." She was the perfect best friend. I wouldn't trade her for the world. Except, maybe, for a night in Thor's bed. Who wouldn't? After rounding the corner, I noticed the floodlight that normally blinded me was out. A wave of fear ran through me, but I pushed it back. "Grow a pair, Tremaine," I thought to myself. However, I pulled my phone out, clicked the green phone app on the screen, and went to the keypad just in case. I continued to walk until I could see my car, when it happened. A scuff of rocks on the sole of a shoe was the only warning I had before someone tackled me to the ground. Hard. My face slammed into the gravel, and I tasted dirt on my tongue. My whole body smashed into the ground so hard that I was temporarily stunned. The breath left my body in a whoosh. My head smacked against the pavement with a sickening thud, and gravel bit into my arms and hands. Everything refused to work. I sat there stupidly blinking and trying to catch my breath. Feeling seemed to come back all at once, and pain exploded everywhere. Everything hurt. My head, neck, arms, hands, pelvis, and knees. The body that tackled me straddled my back, pushing my face farther into the gravel as he leaned down and put his mouth near my ear. His breath smelled like garlic and made me want to throw up. Bile came up my throat, and I clenched my eyes tightly shut.
"You shouldn't walk alone at night. Someone could really hurt you,"
the man said. The breath stalled in my lungs, and all I could get out was a small whimper. The man's legs and one arm held me tight as he snuck his hand down between us.
"Nothing to say, bitch. No matter. I don't want you to talk anyway."
I heard his belt buckle clink as he released it, then the rasp of a zipper as he pulled it down. Fear exploded in me, and I clenched my hands. As I tightened my right hand, it reminded me that I still had my phone. A shot of adrenaline.